of the Dutch presidency. In this week, we had the ambassador of Netherlands to present to our members of the committee, the European Affairs Committee, the priorities of the Dutch presidency. So we have the opportunity to prepare ourselves for very difficult challenges in the next months, and we are very aware of the difficulties of our life, European life, that it's not very easy with the cases of terrorism, with the flows of refugees and migration. So we have some worries about the time we are living in the European Union. I saw your curricula. It's a very impressive one. I know you had a lot of experience in good times in our European Union. So it's very useful for us to hear your opinion, you know, about the times we are living today in Europe.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Recording? Okay. Okay. No, so I start again. Thank you, Chair. It's a real pleasure for me to come to visit your parliament and your government. We look with a great interest about this new phase that you are opening now. We know that we have common challenges, and I think that these challenges are exactly those you have mentioned. Europe must prove that it can really bring a value added to make a change in citizens' ordinary life. And this is the main point. Today, Europe is felt as distant, citizens are asking themselves, what is this for? And this is a very dangerous feeling. I always say that we are certainly worried about Euroscepticism, which is organizing politically more and more around Europe, but even more than this, because on Euroscepticism and anti-European movement, we can respond politically. What we fear the most is the growing sentiment of deception and of indifference, because citizens are more and more disillusioned and deceived, so notably those who truly believed before in the necessity and the opportunity that Europe represented. Today are more and more deceived because of several reasons, because of the economic and social crisis, because of the migratory crisis and the slowness with which the Union is trying to respond, because of other reasons. And to make a change, Europe must deliver on the issues where it is expected to make the difference. And certainly the first is economic growth. We need to come back to a more solid growth around Europe and around the Eurozone. This is a matter of major concern for us in Italy, but we feel that it is a shared feeling around Europe, and is something on which we have to make a difference by also pushing for a shift in the economic policy approach which is followed at European level. We need to focus much more on growth, much more on investment, much more on positive measures to stimulate demand in parallel with the necessary fiscal consolidation. But the two things must go hand in hand. The other major challenge is certainly asylum and migration. The Union must prove that it is able to start to govern the migration, and that is more efficient and better equipped to respond to the refugee crisis. And the two things are linked but are not overlapping, because the second is to respond immediately now to the crisis and to work also in order to defuse the crisis. The second is a thing, is something which is much more medium and longer term, and it is clear that we need to start to manage and govern migration at European level. We cannot go on with the different and separate national policies, and this is something on which we have to start to make a difference. This is also linked to the issue of reviewing the existing regulation on asylum, the so-called Dublin regulation, because they are inadequate, they are obsolete. Sorry. They do not correspond anymore. Sorry. They do not correspond anymore to the need that we have to face. And we need also to strengthen Schengen area. Yes. I mean, for us, it is not acceptable to go backward in the Schengen area. The issue is not to dismantle the Schengen we have. We are totally against the idea which are floating around unofficially of building up a sort of mini Schengen. And we think, on the other hand, that we have to strengthen and develop the Schengen we have, i.e., or notably strengthening borders control. We think that the idea of having a European border police and the Coast Guard is a very positive one. In parallel with that, we must build up a truly a European common asylum system, which means also better redistribution of the burden of refugees among all the member states. The fact that we are encountering so many difficulties in implementation of the temporary agreement is worrying us, because it is a matter of credibility, because there are a lot of refugees that should be relocated, but mainly because it could set a very bad precedent for the forthcoming negotiation on how to reorganize a permanent system. And this is we think that is something very, very important. And then we do believe that in perspective we have to put on the table the issue of reform in the EU. There are some aspects of the EU which do not function very well. We have there are no conditions today to open a reform process, but we need to open a debate in order to launch a political process which could lead also to a reform of the EU by the next year, by 2017, 6 years after the Treaty of Rome. There will be the French election, the German elections. After that period, we could open a new phase where we could envisage also some reform of the functioning of the Union, because we feel that they are necessary. Of course, this would be. This would imply also a positive outcome in the British referendum. We follow it very closely. We think that would be a very negative for UK and very negative for the EU should the Brits decided to leave the Union. But we think also that if the referendum has a positive outcome, we could use that to reshape a little bit the Union and to reorganize the relations between those who are in the single market in a wider Europe and those who are in the Eurozone and want to deepen their integration. We should start a debate on how to better organize this, and this probably should be one of the first points of the reform of the Union, which will be more and more differentiated, but we have to organize the way we govern this increasing differentiation and this increasing complexity, after all, of a larger Union. On this, and I conclude, we are very interested in fostering our cooperation with Portugal as Italian government. We think that we have a lot of things in common. We share many interests, and we think that this moment is the right moment to foster our bilateral relations in the Union. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, State Secretary Mr. Sandrugosi. I think the explanation and the worries that you mentioned are our worries too. As you know, in Portugal we have a huge unemployment. The total unemployment is a number that worries us very much. The youth unemployment also. So the growth, it's for us a main priority. We think here in Portugal we have better conditions to have a economic growth this year and on the next year. We have good exports. We have decreased our imports, so we have the conditions to have economic growth. But we know that tackled the unemployment, it's a very difficult issue, and we have to have time to do that. The migration, as you said, for us is not a very huge problem, because we are here in the south of Europe without this problem, but we know that our European Union and our member states are divided from member states with external borders and the other ones. In the last COSAC in Luxembourg, we had the opportunity to heard the member, the Poles and the Romanians and Hungary, saying that they had the huge problem to have the refugees and migrants there. The problem to resolve every day with the flows, as you know, of refugees and migrants. So we have to do we have to have solidarity, not only money and political will to resolve this problem. So the reform of the EU institutions probably is other main issue after the British referendum. And I think as you think, that for all the European Union, it's a good thing that the British remain with us and in the Union. So we hope that the British will have this will to remain with us in the European Union. At last, the relations between your government and our government, and mainly the relations between our both parliaments, I think it's a good thing to work even more, because we are living with the same worries. We have the will to have a deeper construction of the European Union. So hand in hand, we can do a better future for all of us. So I think our exchange of views today and the near future, with the help of the institutions or informally, it's a good thing for us and for our parliament. As you know, my vice president, Brilhante Dias, perhaps have something to say about our worries in this matter of the European Union. You have the floor, Deputy President Dias.
Well, welcome to our committee. Two or three different issues that are important and important for us, and I suppose we share views. I have heard with a lot of interest your previous comments about a lot of European Union issues, but focusing on two or three that are quite important to our country, to Portugal, and in this committee we are following those topics with quite closely. Firstly, the Five Presidents' report. In order to go deeper, in our last meetings with several different members of the Portuguese Parliament in this committee, have asked how can we go deeper in the economic, in the European Monetary Union governance, and mainly on the building of a euro area budget. So I would like to ask you if in your opinion this it's possible in the near future to go deeper in this field, the European Union or the Eurozone budget, in order to help countries like Portugal and several other member states in order to have a better fiscal adjustment, more fair, more fairness, fairness for us as important as you know. Secondly, the European, a common European guarantee deposit scheme. Different deputies from our committee, different member of our parliament in some sessions have asked our government, for instance, in this road, in what point are we? Are we near a solution, or we have some barriers that we need to overcome to address to a final to address a final solution? And thirdly, I will ask you if you have a comment to add to our meeting about migrations, refugees, and mainly about the Dublin rules and the Dublin regime. As it was said before by our president, for our chairman, Portugal is facing this problem, this huge problem, taking into account European values, taking into account the need of solidarity, and we know that for Italy this is an important issue, so it would interesting to hear you about how important it is for you, but more than that, what can we do in order to help you to have a better solution?
Thank you very much. There are certainly very important issues. On the first, we are in favor of a fiscal capacity for the Eurozone, of a budget for the Eurozone. We think that we should work on that already now. We should look first at what we can do also within the existing EU budget. We have to develop a specific line, a chapter, I mean, look at all the technical possibility with the existing budget in perspective, in the medium term, would be probably necessary to give to the Eurozone a specific budget to promote a truly common economic policy, which is mainly a common investment also policy. We think that this is a tool that it is needed in the Eurozone, and that we should start to work on about that as soon as possible, looking at all the technical possibilities, and also probably having a two-step approach, which probably would be necessary in order to for all the
a reform that we want to introduce to the Eurozone. The second issue is a very important one, the European Guarantee Deposit Scheme. It is clear that the banking union is not complete today, that this is a very important missing piece, and we think that it should be introduced as soon as possible. We do believe that this is a form of risk sharing, which it is necessary when we share a single currency, which should go in parallel with our risk reduction action, restructuring of the banking sector. And you know about this fiscal consolidation. These two things must go in parallel. We do not share the approach of those who think that today we have to probably completely eliminate any risk, and then at the end of this process we can open a second phase where we talk about risk sharing tools. We do believe that the two things must go in parallel, and it is very necessary also for the credibility and the strength and the strength of the Eurozone to complete very very fast the banking union with the introduction of this scheme. It is a difficult negotiation which is going on in the ECOFIN Council. We do believe that the Commission proposal for us is already a compromise, and we shouldn't go below that the Commission proposal, which is already a compromise between our position and the position of our the government, which are more reserved about a wide approach to this. The third issue is a very important one. Solidarity is not only a very important word, and it is not only a fundamental value in our union. It is also a binding principle, which is enshrined in the treaty. Article 80, 81 of the treaty clearly indicate shared responsibility and solidarity in the management of asylum and migration policies. And certainly this is something which must be addressed in a much more effective way compared to what has been done so far. On this, we want to fully implement the temporary agreement concerning the 160,000 refugees, which is being very slow in the implementation, which is basically hasn't started at all, or at least in very small, almost insignificant numbers concerning relocation. We are committed to implement the hotspot to strengthen our identification and forced reception capacities. We have already realized 3 out of the 6 hotspots to which we committed. And this, if you want, is 50% of our contribution, which is done, whereas the relocation from Italy to other countries has been very, very low. We talk about around 0.2% relocated compared to what should have been relocated. And we haven't seen any major step in the return policy, which we should focus on also for those who do not have any rights to stay in the union. So for this, this for us is disappointing, is worrying, because it is a matter also of the union credibility. And it is clear that also it set a negative precedent in ahead of the important negotiations that we have to launch on the revision of the Dublin Regulation and the introduction, in our view, of rules that allows a truly European common asylum system. We have to revise the Dublin Regulation, but what we should also go towards a stronger convergence of the common asylum standards around the member states. So probably we should also think of a strengthening of the reception directive, the procedure directive, the asylum directive, all those directives which has set forced basis for a convergence on the asylum policies. We think that we should do more to raise the standard, to arrive to more common standards. And we also think that the, as I was saying, the forthcoming proposal on the strengthening of the Schengen area and on the strengthening of the borders control, mm-hmm. with the possibility of introduction or of creation of a sort of European Coast Guard and border police, which is based on the strengthening of the role and on the power of the function of Frontex, and on a better integrated mechanism between the different European police and Coast Guard. It goes certainly toward the right direction, but must go in parallel with the revision of Dublin. The two things must go in parallel, because the first without the second one wouldn't allow us to really have the progress we need.
Just a remark about the financial aid that the European Commission made to Turkey to tackle and help the European Union to have solutions for the migrants and refugees. What do you think about the effects, if they are positive or not positive? And because yesterday I had a visit, courtesy visit of Mrs. Ambassador from Greece here in the parliament, and she had the opportunity to say that there are none effect about the financial aid to Turkey to help in the solution of the refugees and migrants. What do you think about that?
I think it is very necessary to foster our bilateral cooperation between EU and Turkey on the management of the crisis of refugees. Turkey is carrying out a very heavy burden. There are more than 2 million Syrian refugees in Turkey. It is clear that the crisis through the Balkan route for the Union originates also through Turkey. And so it is clear that we need to implement the agreement that it was reached by Turkey and the EU in November. We think that the fund for the management of refugees 3 billion should come from the EU budget. And we should do everything we can to fully exploit as far as we can the possibility and the flexibility offered by the EU budget in order to finance the fund. In any case, should it also needed to be be financed by national contribution, those contributions should be neutral in the light of the Stability and Growth Pact. So the contribution shouldn't be accounted as public debt and shouldn't affect the valuation of the debt and the deficit. And they should also accompany, as we have already discussed, but we would like to deepen this on this discussion, on a monitoring mechanism which ensure that the money goes really to for the first reception of the refugees and for integration actions of refugees who desire to remain in Turkey. These are what we think, and it is clear that for many reasons the implementation of the agreement, also the implementation of the agreement between EU and Turkey is being slow, but in our view, it is necessary to strengthen this this cooperation.
I would, in this topic also about refugees and the migrations. Well, we are facing in Europe, in several different member states, a difficult relation between our positions and somehow public opinions. Today and yesterday we have some news that are not quite are not good, quite good news from, for instance, from Germany. For instance, the German government is facing some difficulties in order to implement and to sustain a policy, a good Islam policy in Germany, when you know, as we know, that several or many of the migrants, they really want to reach Germany and to stay there, and Germany and Sweden. We need to communicate better with our citizens. We need to communicate better with our citizens in order to avoid xenophobia and other behaviors like that. So, in your opinion, what can we do better, or what can we do more in order to communicate better? Because we can put money on hotspots, we can have better and effective, more effective hotspots. We could try to stop or to reduce the flow of migrants from Turkey and other countries. 2 weeks ago, I've been with Mr. Antonio Guterres, the former Portuguese Prime Minister, but also the former United Nations Refugees, it's not committee, but the word in English, I don't remember. But High Commissioner. I was not Commissioner, but High Commissioner. And he said, well, in the last time that he has been in the island of Lesbos, when he was asking, how many different nationalities do I have here? Is only people from Syria? Well, the figure was 80 different nationalities. 80 different nationalities were there. And they have their refugees that were coming from 80 different nationalities. We need to communicate better. We need to be more effective, but we need to communicate better with our citizens. In our opinion, what should we do in order to avoid those behaviors, those bad behaviors, in my opinion, and to communicate better that these people is coming to Europe because they are facing a terrible situation in their lives and in their countries.
Political communication is certainly very important. It is clear that we have to counter this idea that there is an invasion, that we are invaded by migrants, and that the future of the Union is the Union has no future. The European has no future because there will be under the invasion of refugees. We have to also counter this tentative to to say that the Syrian refugees equal ISIS terrorists, which is being promoted by sensationalist press, and it is used politically by xenophobic and anti-European movements. And we also have to avoid the tentative of divided Europeans, all the non-Muslim Europeans on one side against all the Muslim on the other side, which is a clear strategy to push the European Muslim in the end of the extremist. And this is a very well defined communication strategy, which is followed both by extremist forces in Europe and by Daesh and ISIS, clearly. Yeah. And we have to counter this. Now, how we can counter this? It is fundamental, certainly, a faster response. A faster response which could allow us to explain and to prove that only a European EU action can handle this. Only through Europe we can handle this. It's clear that we are in a difficult situation because the action is there. There is a refugee crisis. There is a terrorist attack. There is certainly a use also
of the refugee crisis from the terrorists in order to build up on their communication action on one end. On the other end, the EU is being very slow in responding. Yeah. So, I mean, this is what I would say that this is the key issue, and it is a very thorny issue because of our division and because of our reluctance to act as a union on this. So it is worrying.
Thank you.
The question for us linked to the growth and economic growth. We are expecting for some time a common policy, energetic policy. For us, Portugal, perhaps for Italian too, for Spain, and mainly for those countries at South Europe, it's very important to have a strategic and a common strategic way to face energy and the costs of energy. We are waiting for that. We have agreements with Spain and France to do that, but European Union is very, very slow in this matter. So we have political will with you, with Italy, to have the steps very, very determined to do that or not.
Yes, no, I share your views. I think the energy union, it is a major project, a major objective that we have set up in this new European legislature, and we fully share the objective of the energy union. And we think also that the issue of notably of interconnection between the Iberian Peninsula and the rest of the Union is fundamental. We have addressed it also during the semester of our presidency when we adopted the first common position of the EU on energy and on climate change that was ahead of the Lima conference and before the Paris conference. And we do believe that the issue of infrastructure is absolutely necessary. It's one of the five priorities and that we have to go fast in the implementation of this agenda, because it's really one of the major political pillars of the Union in the next years, and we are very committed in this.
Very good to hear. I think the issues we have discussed briefly but very profoundly help us very, very much. It was a pleasure to have you and your Mr. Ambassador, Mr. Conselheiro de Embaixada Pier Angelo Camarota e a Sra. Doutora Luísa Sacco, adjunta do gabinete da Sra. Secretária de Estado dos Assuntos Europeus. It was a pleasure to have you with us. Muito obrigada também, meu vice-presidente Eurico Brilhante Dias. We have a symbolic gift to you. It's a little piece of a Portuguese porcelain. I don't know exactly what the subject, but perhaps it's a good thing and a symbolic way to have.
Thank you.
I think it's Manuel Arriaga signature in the constitution.
Okay. Manuel Arriaga was one of the first
presidents
of
our
Republic.
Yes, I think it's here. It's the reproduction of the pen used by Teófilo Braga to sign the political constitution of Portuguese Republic in...
Excellent. Our first Republican constitution.
Thank you very much.
So...
I want to break it.
And now the family picture. If you don't mind.
Yeah.